Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 26th day of November, 2019. And I'm thrilled to have a first-time guest today who is going to be discussing a vital issue. His name is Marty Machowski. He is family life pastor at Covenant Fellowship Church in Glen Mills, Pennsylvania, where he has served on the pastoral staff for over 30 years. And he's author of a children's book we are going to be discussing today, God Made Boys and Girls, Helping Children Understand the Gift of Gender. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Marty Machowski.
Thanks for having me on your program, Chris. It's an honor to be here.
And before we have you give a summary of your own personal salvation testimony, which is something that we have as a tradition here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, whenever we interview a first-time guest, we have that guest give a summary of the providential circumstances the Lord used in that individual's life to draw them to himself and save them. But before we do that, why don't you tell our listeners about Covenant Fellowship Church in Glen Mills, Pennsylvania?
Well, Covenant Fellowship Church was established in 1984, and we met for a long time in a local community center until around 1999. We purchased land in Glen Mills, and we're able to build a facility. We have been here ever since, preaching the gospel, making the gospel our primary message, and we are blessed by God to have people come through our doors who are eager to hear that message. One of the things that God's blessed us with in particular is a great program we call Bridge, where we invite unbelievers in on Wednesday nights to simply understand the basic truth of Christianity. And it has been amazing to see how many people coming from really difficult backgrounds and situations coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ through the ministry here at our church.
Well, praise God. And folks, you could look into this church later on, but the website, which I hope to repeat later on as well, is covfel.org. That's covfel.org. Obviously, an abbreviation for Covenant Fellowship Church. And we will, God willing, repeat that later on. So now is the time for you to give us a summary of the religious upbringing you had, if any, as a child, what kind of religious upbringing that was, if any, and the providential circumstances that our Lord raised up in your life to sovereignly draw you to himself and save you.
Yeah, I'd love to share that. I grew up Catholic, in a Catholic family, and we were very strict Catholics. Many Catholics today don't actually practice regular Catholicism, but I was a strict Catholic, went to church every Sunday, unless, of course, I was ill. And yet I found myself searching, not knowing what the purpose of my life was. Between my junior and senior year of college, I got a job working in my field for a summer internship down in Aberdeen, Maryland, at the Aberdeen Proving Grounds, and was living in a town called Havre de Grace. And one morning when I turned the TV on like I did every morning to eat my cornflakes before I went to work, I watched the news. Only this day, the only channel I got in my little black and white TV set, it was not the news. It was a televangelist. And he went on to share the gospel. And then at the end of his program, like you might characteristically imagine, pointed his finger at the TV camera and said, and those of you out there in watching this by way of our broadcast, God is after you as well. And the thing that he explained to me that I hadn't known before, I knew that Jesus Christ died on the cross for sins, but what I didn't know was that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. And that truth that God died for me specifically, and that was what was going to set me free, was something that just exploded in my mind. I watched that program every day throughout the crusade, and somewhere in that week, God saved me. I did go back after that summer internship to the Catholic Church. I didn't really know anything different, but shortly thereafter, God led me to Covenant Fellowship, where I began just as a single guy in the congregation, and then it was out of Covenant Fellowship that the Lord called me into ministry, and I've been here as my only Christian church my whole life.
Praise God. And it's always good to hear a good ending to a story that begins with a televangelist.
Well, you know, the Bible doesn't say televangelists are the power of God for the salvation of the world. They say the gospel is. And when they preach the gospel, things happen, right?
Amen. Yes. And, of course, there are wonderful televangelists, biblically faithful televangelists, and radio evangelists in amidst the sea of heretics and charlatans. So we cannot discount and should not discount them all or lump them all together, because there are many wonderful men in the pulpit who have their services broadcast and their sermons broadcast, such as one of my heroes of the faith, John MacArthur, and I could go on and on and on with the list of wonderful men. And being in the radio industry most of my adult life, I'm thankful to God that I enabled radio stations to continue on in their activities, airing the sermons of such men as Dr. MacArthur and R.C. Sproul and Joel Beakey and many others. Before I have you begin on your description of this book, this very important book that we are addressing today, I want to read a couple of endorsements for this book, and one of them is by my friend, whom I have known since the 1990s, and actually was personally involved in helping him launch his very first radio program back in the 90s. Dr. Joel Beakey, president of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan, he says, "In our current day, children can easily become confused about all kinds of issues that are clearly presented in the scriptures, particularly if their home, church, and school do not provide a consistent biblical foundation. Gender issues rank high on the list of areas that children can become untethered from the Bible's teaching. This beautiful book gently teaches children to cherish their God-given gender and to love their neighbor as themselves, a timely word on a sensitive issue." And then we have Jim Daly, president of Focus on the Family, says, "Are you watching the culture's rapid departure from biblical principles and wondering how to address these sensitive issues with your precious children? Marty Machowski has provided a timely resource to help you in that crucial task. His new book takes a gentle and scriptural look at what God's Word tells us about His design for the two genders. This volume offers parents a terrific way to initiate important discussions with their kids." And, of course, the book that these men are raving about is the one that I mentioned in the beginning of the broadcast, God Made Boys and Girls, Helping Children Understand the Gift of Gender. Now, I am not really aware. I mean, there could be other books out on this subject, but to my knowledge anyway, this is the first book that has come across my path that is tackling this very vital issue in the backdrop of the horrifying things that are going on in our culture, where children are being told that they can actually choose the gender that they want to live by. But if you could tell us, what was the catalyst that led you to writing this book? And do you know of any other alternative books that are specifically addressing this?
Well, Chris, I don't know of any other books that address this issue for children and to help parents with their children. I know of some good books that address the topic for adults. I had recently a coworker of mine say, you know, Marty, you should write a book on gender. And I thought, well, you know, I know the issue is really severe. I don't know that I'm an expert in that field, but it got me looking and it got me thinking about children. And as I did a little research, I was just shocked at what I was reading. Came across one story in the news of a California teacher who, in a kindergarten class, had a little boy go back into the back outside the classroom, change into a girl's outfit, and come back in and presented the little boy as a little girl to the class, and instructed the class to begin calling him her. And this really upset the kids, and they went home to their parents, some of them crying, saying, I don't want to be a boy, one little girl said to her mother. And when parents became outraged over the incident and reported it to the school district sided with the teacher. The parents said, hey, you got to give us warning if you're going to do sex education. It's California law. And they were told that, no, you're misunderstanding. This isn't sex education. This is identity education. To which the parents couldn't believe it. A year later, that teacher was awarded Teacher of the Year Award. I just couldn't believe it when I read that story. That set me looking for books to see what was out there. I saw nothing, and I thought, our parents need a book to teach their children that gender is God's good gift that can never change. And that's where I began my work to try to write one.
Well, tell us about how this book is structured. And for instance, I am hoping that I'm correct here, that it does not even bring up the issue for children to discover unnecessarily that there are people teaching out there that you can choose any gender that you want. And obviously this is a subject that perhaps teenagers should hear from Christian Bible study teachers and pastors and parents, because of the fact that it's saturated in the media everywhere we go, everywhere we look. I'm assuming that you keep this controversy away from the minds of children in this book.
Well, I absolutely do, because I don't want to add to the confusion. I mean,
right.
Children do not need to hear that some people, you know, would suggest that you could change your gender, but that's not true. I mean, they don't even need that information. Children are not able to, at this age, you know, I'm reaching kindergarten, first, second, third grade. They're not able to discern those complicated ideas. They're impressionable. They're like soft clay. You know, whatever puts its mark upon that clay, it remains. And so what I wanted to do is, well, what the FBI did to train its workers to recognize counterfeit bills, the first thing they did was not give them counterfeit bills and say, hey, look, these are counterfeit. They caused them to take hours and hours to study the genuine, so that if they knew the genuine perfectly well, they would know the counterfeit when they saw it, because it was not genuine. And so what I'm looking to do here is teach children the biblical truth that their gender is God's good gift that can never change. And I do that setting it up in a story, because children love stories, and children will never know anything about transgender going through the book. What they'll learn is the truth about gender from the story.
Amen. And who, or should I say, what age groups have you intended this book to be read by their parents to. And if I butchered the grammar, please forgive me.
Well, I'll tell you, I would say that it's written for like kindergarten through third grade, but I have my first grandson, Zion, is about 14 months old, and he comes over our house at least once a week. My daughter lives locally, and he absolutely loves the book, and we're reading it to him all the time. Now, he doesn't understand at 1.5, well, what, you know, God's good gift and gender and all of that, but he's coming to love the pictures, and kids at that age just love for you to read to them. So there's no reason why you couldn't read it to children who are younger. But the key here is the moment he's old enough to understand what is written on these pages, because we're reading it as a routine in his life, he's going to be able to understand the truth on these pages. But it's geared for kindergarten through third grade.
And give us some of your own thoughts as someone who has been involved in Christian leadership for many years, several decades. What is your understanding and your position on the rampant claims and reports, growing number of reports that children especially have what has been called gender dysphoria? They have made claims in the media that scientists are saying that this is a real thing that does not need coaching from parents or from secular society. These are things that would naturally develop in the minds and lives of children who have this disorder. It's not that their parents or relatives or society is coaching them and imputing these ideas into their minds, but that they are coming forth as if they are a natural progression of children who have some kind of a problem. Do you think that this is the case, or do you think that this is basically sin becoming more rampant because these children are hearing these things discussed even by their parents and in the media, and perhaps their parents, they don't want to hurt their children's feelings, they don't want their children to feel bad if the kid happens to come out of the mother's closet and it's a boy and he's wearing his mother's clothing or something, wearing his mother's shoes. Automatically, the rush to a response to this is, oh, this child must be gender dysphoric and we have to make sure that they are happy and not traumatized by life, so we have to go by what they feel. And what is your opinion about this?
Well, it's a complicated issue, but what I think is happening is when you celebrate the gay lifestyle as normal, the very next question to ask is, who am I sexually? You know, that's coming up more and more. And then when you affirm the confusion of somebody who is left with that question, and even worse, when you begin teaching children that it's a choice, you're going to end up with a cascade of confusion. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to separate out the children who are confused, who are really victims of a culture gone awry. I'd like to separate them out from the people who are actively pressing forward and pushing for this teaching in schools, and doctors that are putting forth theories which are really underpinning the false teaching that you can pick a gender. You can select whichever one you want. And the kids, you know, you imagine a child in kindergarten in a classroom where the teacher sends a boy back to get changed into a girl's outfit and comes back and says, he's now a girl. You know, if one of those other children then, who perhaps has a difficult home life, begins to get confused in third grade, I have a lot of compassion for needing to try to understand what happened in that child's life. I don't have a lot of compassion for the teacher who is pushing forward these false ideals in the classroom. I think it's just plain wrong. And what I do to explain that, it doesn't surprise me, actually. If you look at Romans 1, you see when you exchange the truth of God for a lie, all kinds of aberrant behavior come out from that. That's the natural result of God giving you over when you reject Him to worship the creation. And, you know, while these folks aren't necessarily setting up idols and altars in their living rooms, there's a sense in which they've rejected God. They've put their hope and faith in an evolutionary idea that says man is at the center of the world because everything was created by chance. So now it's really up to survival by the fittest, and men are, you know, men and women are the fittest. And it's just a broken ideology that's so a part of our culture.
Now, I cannot help but think that many of these parents who are encouraging their children on this hellish path, they know that this idea of gender dysphoria and everything that is attached to the so-called LGBTQ community, this is in vogue. It's even considered chic. And I can't help but think that there are parents that want to call attention to themselves as being heroes of this movement to legitimize gender dysphoria and to legitimize children even choosing their gender as if that were even possible, to perhaps even become celebrities of some kind, not even necessarily global or national celebrities, but celebrities in their community, how heroic they are for standing behind their children and subsequently their children being little heroes who are pursuing this very tragic direction. Do you think I'm making sense here?
Yeah, I think you are, and I think that is happening. You know, people who are progressive in their ideas want to showcase them very, very often, I think. But, you know, the challenge is for every one person that's trying to showcase this and supports these ideas being taught, there are a handful of other parents who are confused too. They don't know what to do with their kid that just came home and said, "Mom, I know I was born a boy. You called me Joe, but I'm changing my name to Jennifer, and I'm now a girl." It's really tough on parents when that happens. And then there are the parents in between who aren't really sure what the right thing is. We've got a family in my neighborhood whose daughter is considering switching genders. And in this society, in this current culture and climate, the parent is thinking, well, what's the right thing to do? Let me support that pursuit. Let me support that exploration. And so whatever you decide, honey, that will be good with us. When really, they need truth in those situations. They need to know, no, it's not actually possible to change your gender. It's fixed, and it is immovable, biologically.
We're going to give the listeners our email address so that they can respond with questions of their own. If you would like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us at least your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter, and obviously I could readily see a discussion on this topic would lend itself to people having personal and private questions. Perhaps you yourself are experiencing a horrific trial in your family where either your own children or your grandchildren, your nephews, your nieces are going through confusion about what gender they truly should live by, and perhaps people are encouraging them to sin by adopting the opposite gender as their own. Whatever the issue is that may be personal and private, we obviously understand that you would prefer to remain anonymous, so we will grant you that request. if it is a personal and private question. But if it's a general question, please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And tell us more about the book. I'm assuming, since it's a book for children, young children, as you said, kindergarten through third grade, that it's illustrated. Perhaps you could even share with us a bit of information about the illustrator and so on.
It is an illustrated book, and it tells a story. You know, I like to begin, particularly with young children, bringing them into truth through a story. And so you have children on the school playground, it's recess, and a little girl named Maya loves to play football because she's a really fast runner, and nobody can really catch her. And one of the boys is jealous, and he shouts out, and he says, if you keep playing with the boys, you will turn into a boy. And that upsets her, and she asks the teacher, Mr. Ramirez, is that true? Will I turn into a boy? And Mr. Ramirez replies, no, that's not true. Girls can't turn into boys. God made them girls for life. And then he corrects Lucas for saying an unkind thing. And then from there, Mr. Ramirez says, you know, we're going to go back into the classroom, and I'm going to tell you about this issue. And he begins teaching children about gender. And he says, gender is God's good gift. That man was created in the image of God, and some were made by God to be boys, and some were made to be girls. And that is fixed for life. Now, it's interesting that the illustrator for the book was glad to do the illustrations, but the illustrator refused to have their name put on the cover because of the controversial nature of this topic. So right as I was writing this book, I became aware that I was entering into some choppy waters.
Wow. I was not expecting to have that answer come out of you. That's interesting. Well, we don't have that illustrator here, nor would the illustrator obviously want to be here, but I'd be curious as to the faith, if any, of this illustrator and why this issue would make them fearful to not be involved in identifying themselves, perhaps just fear of the retaliation that is so common in our culture, where those who support the LGBT community, so-called, I do not use that phrase approvingly. I don't believe you can call a group of people who are involved in sin a community logically or appropriately, but it is quite sad to hear that. But it is a reality that people have lost careers and have even been physically threatened by those who support this satanic worldview of the LGBT so-called community. We are going to our first break right now, and we do have a couple of listeners with questions, and we will get to you as soon as we can. But if you'd like to join us on the air, as I said before, if you'd like to join us, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and please, as always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. So don't go away, God willing. We're going to be back with Marty Machowski and more of God Made Boys and Girls after these messages from our sponsors. We look forward to hearing from you and your questions for our guest very soon.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ. Today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which
so
is a highlight
for
me.
Tons of stuff going on,
yeah.
Tons of great speakers, and no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
And now there's even more exciting news. John MacArthur himself is now also on the lineup at the G3 Conference, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, 2020. Go to G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com. See you there.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, every time you purchase books from solid-ground-books.com, you are helping Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to remain on the air for a longer future, because solid-ground-books.com is a primary financial supporter of this program. Without them, barring a miracle, we would not exist. So please remember, for the holidays, all your gift-giving needs, in addition to replenishing your own library with the finest of Christian books from the past and present, go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, and always remember to tell them that you heard about solid-ground-books.com from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with our guest today, Marty Machowski, family life pastor at Covenant Fellowship Church in Glen Mills, Pennsylvania. We are discussing his book, God Made Boys and Girls, Helping Children Understand the Gift of Gender. And we do have a listener with a question for you, Marty. We have Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina, a very loyal listener to this program and also a very generous financial supporter of this program. Another great show, Chris. In your book, Marty, do you give advice on how to deal with authorities that insist there are more than two genders? Also, how do we have conversations with teenagers already confused about their gender?
Well, great questions. I don't, in the book, talk about how to speak to authorities, but I can address that for a moment. You know, my experience is that parents who go to war against the authorities, let's say your school is beginning to teach these things and you're really upset and you go to war, you're very quickly labeled as part of the problem. And you lose understanding. And what I've told parents is it's better for you to ask the school if they can let you know when they're teaching some of these things, because you want to better be able to equip your own children. If you're going to keep your kids in that school, that then becomes an opportunity for you when you know it's coming to prepare your children, or even to decide, I think my child's going to have a sick day that day. But parents who have squared off against officials, this is like the mainstream message that the whole public school arena is supporting these days. So you're really, it's like coming against the wave of the ocean right in their territory. And that can be really challenging. But I do believe that you as a parent have the right to know what's being taught so that you can better walk with your own children through that instruction.
Grady, thank you for the two excellent questions, and make sure you give us your full mailing address so that Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, can ship this book out to you at no cost to you or to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We not only want to thank cvbbs.com for shipping out our winners, their free books, but we also obviously want to thank the folks at New Growth Press for providing us with these copies of Marty's book to begin with. And just for your information, folks, if you want to find out more about New Growth Press and all the titles that they have brought back in, or brought into print, I should say, their website is newgrowthpress.com, newgrowthpress.com. And before I go to another question, Marty, have you heard personally any negative feedback from writing this book? And then also, obviously, I want to hear about positive feedback, other than, of course, the men whose wonderful commendations I read, who have raved about this book and endorsed it. But as far as your average readers and so on.
Well, I have heard some negative reviews that have come predictably from more secular reviewers. And as far as the church community, I've only heard good things. And if I could, I just want to jump back to the second question that your listener asked about what do you do with a teen who's confused? Because I do want to answer that question and make sure I'm faithful to honor their question. Is that all right if I answer?
Oh, of course, of course. All especially right. Since the questioner was Grady and he actually donates to our program.
Well, good. We wouldn't want to upset Grady. So one of the things that I think is really important is drawing out the teen. We need to be careful that we're not fearful and just jump on a young person to tell them what they're thinking is wrong, because there is usually some issue, some trauma even, that can lead a person down that road. For example, you have somebody who might have gifts and talents that might be stereotyped as the opposite gender. So if a young man has a great singing voice, but he's not great at sports, he can be called a girl. And you might not realize how over the years that bullying has affected him, has hurt him. And so now he's beginning to doubt, and you find out in talking with him that he doesn't have a strong father figure, and that there are other issues in his life. He deals with insecurity. And often then when you find out what is really going on, and you begin to prayerfully ask the question, how do I address all of these issues? You know, it's presenting right now as a gender dysphoric kind of an outcome. But really, far before you get there, there are very often other underlying issues. And once you understand those issues, then it becomes actually easier to try to help that person biblically deal with that issue. The issue is to recognize that his gift, in the case of the illustration that I gave, a young boy who's a great singer and not good at sports, realize that those individual gifts and talents were given to him by God, and he's to use them for God's glory. He shouldn't be defined by what other people think. I mean, some of the greatest singers of all time were godly men, were you know, recorded in the Bible. You got David. You know, what would people of who are really wanting to make fun of young men with different gifts, what do they say about David? He plays the harp, he sings, he writes songs. He's too young to go out and fight, you know, the battle. And then all of a sudden, this little young boy who's a singer, playing the harp for, you know, King Saul, slays the giant with God's help. So, you know, I think we need to be careful. Understand the situation before you just jump on and tell somebody they're wrong in their thinking about gender. While they are wrong, you need to find out what's going on to lead them down that path.
Amen. Let's see. We have an anonymous listener who says, I want to word my question very carefully because I know I could be wrongly misunderstood very easily, and I want to make sure that people don't get the wrong idea as to the motive of my question. But I believe that there is a positive element to children growing up in an atmosphere where abnormal or dangerous or ungodly behavior is frowned upon by fellow classmates and children in the neighborhood. We would never want these children to bully the ones adopting ideas like gender dysphoria. We would not ever want cruelty to be thrust upon them. But at the same time, I think this attitude against bullying has gone too far. Whereas even children growing up today, when you discuss things like homosexuality with them, they think these things are completely fine because of this day and age of political correctness that we live in. You are hard-pressed to find a child outside of Christendom or a conservative religion where these things are viewed upon as being abnormal, unnatural, dangerous. And do you not think that this kind of attitude should be cultivated, that children are not to be accepting with open arms their friends when they demonstrate that they have embraced things like gender dysphoria, transvestism, and all other kinds of things that are an abomination to God?
Well, I certainly would not want to teach my children that you want to affirm those kids in all of their challenges. But when Jesus presented truth, he did it very cleverly. He did it with compassion. He did it with kindness. And where we see sin, the Bible says that we who are a spiritual should correct with gentleness. And so I do think there is an appropriate place to correct. When I was a young kid growing up, I actually had an example of this in my life. I had a friend come up to me, and he said to me, Marty, he said, you're running like a girl. You're flailing your legs out. Seriously. He said, let me show you what you're doing. And I really wasn't the most athletic of guys. And, you know, he showed me what I was doing wrong. And I said, you know, thank you, Greg. And I changed the way that I ran. And it was actually more effective to run. And I was probably 5-6 years old, and here's a kid from the neighborhood. He pulled me aside privately, said, hey, dude, you're running like a girl. Straighten this out. So, yeah, hey, you know, I celebrate godly, loving correction. So, you know, if you're a teen out there listening, or you're a parent, you have a teen who has a friend who thinks that they should be the opposite gender, then help your son or daughter teach them the truth. But the way to do that is obviously not through bullying or demeaning. It's to pull them aside one-on-one and say, hey, look, I know that you think you're supposed to be a boy, but the truth is your biology can never change. What people are telling you is a lie. And you know, Chris, here's an area that it just makes it so obvious. You know, our culture is saying, no, it's wrong to correct somebody about gender. You've got to, what they feel is right. But what do we do when we come up with someone who's anorexic?
In fact, let's pick up right where you left off, because unfortunately we have to go to our midway break. And just don't forget about where you left off about anorexic. And This is our longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of our show because they are required by the FCC to air their own public service announcements and other things that localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida. So please be patient with us as we take this longer break, and we also ask you to use this time wisely. Write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently patronize them, because that will further ensure that they remain our advertisers, and we need their advertising dollars to remain on the air. But also write down questions for our guest, Marty Machowski, at chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors. When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White of the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
I'm so grateful to our sovereign God that while manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron at a major Bible conference, I providentially met Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church, just south of Jacksonville, Florida, right off I-95 in St. Johns County. Andrew is certainly the kind of pastor that is a perfect match for my radio show and has already proven to be an ideal guest. Christ Reformed Community Church shares my conviction that God is both creator and sustainer of the universe. He rules and reigns providentially over our lives. He directs not only the historical events of the world, but also the personal events of individuals. I agree with Christ Reformed Community Church that the very purpose of the church is to make disciples, that we are tasked with the responsibility to evangelize locally, nationally, and globally, and that we are to equip the saints for the work of service. Unlike the man-centered, seeker-sensitive movement, they do not gauge the success of biblical discipleship by how many people are in a church, but by the faithful ministry of God's Word and Gospel. For more details on Christ Reformed Community Church, visit ChristReformedCC.com. That's ChristReformedCC.com. Or call 904-955-9881. That's 904-955-9881. Tell Pastor Andrew that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith, and I'd like to urge you to consider joining Christ Reformed Community Church of St. John's, Florida, in financially supporting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there. So if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443. Or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and my friend Chris Arnson and I are excited to be attending another G3 conference together in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, on a theme that is vitally important to all of us, Worship Matters. I'll be on the speaking lineup with Eric Thomas, Joel Beakey, Paul Washer, Steve Lawson, Phil Johnson, Tom Askell, Vodi Balcom, and the world-renowned preacher, teacher, and author John MacArthur. A fascinating new addition to the roster is Costi Hinn, nephew of the notorious false teacher Benny Hinn. Costi has repented of the word faith heresies of his youth and is now a Reformed Baptist pastor and cessationist in California. Come join me and Chris Arnson at G3 2020, January 16th through the 18th in Atlanta by registering at g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson. If you just tuned us in, our guest for the 2 hours today, with a little less than an hour to go, is Marty Machowski, pastor, I'm sorry, family life pastor at Covenant Fellowship Church in Glen Mills, Pennsylvania. And we are discussing his book, God Made Boys and Girls, Helping Children Understand the Gift of Gender. If you have a question for Marty, send it in via email at chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, please give us at least your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Before I return to our discussion with Marty, I just have a couple of announcements to make. First of all, the Foundations Conference in New York City that you've been hearing me promote for quite a while, that is sold out. There is no more room to attend that conference. So if you want to just check up if there are any cancellations, the website is thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com. That conference is being held Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th in Manhattan. And so check up if you wish to see if there are any future cancellations, because they are packed. The next event that I am going to be attending, God willing, which always has my heart beating with joy, because I am just absolutely always blown away at the G3 conference, where I have manned an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio already for 3 years, and this January will be my fourth year in a row manning an exhibitor's booth at the G3 conference, which stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory. This is held every year at the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park, Georgia, which is a suburb of Atlanta, right near the Atlanta airport. The conference center is actually connected by rail to the Atlanta airport, so it's very easy to get to from there if you fly in. This is just a remarkable conference. It is a monumental event. I don't know of any conference that has a roster of speakers this long and this superb. And I highly urge you, if you've never been, to please attend the G3 conference. This January, the theme is Worship Matters. And the speakers include my friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, my friend Phil Johnson, the executive director of John MacArthur's media ministry, Grace to You. And Phil Johnson also has the dubious reputation of being the most frequently interviewed guest in the history of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, founder of One Passion Ministries, certainly one of the most extraordinary preachers alive on the planet Earth. My friend Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio will be speaking. Derek Thomas, a beloved name, especially amongst Reformed Christians, one of the finest exegetes and preachers and teachers and authors that we have in existence today. My friend Dr. Tom Askell, who is the executive director of Founders Ministries, the Calvinistic ministry within the Southern Baptist Convention. Dr. Stephen J. Nichols, who is the president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries. Costi Hinn, who you just heard recently James White mention in an ad for this conference. Costi Hinn, who is the nephew of the notorious heretic and charlatan Benny Hinn. And Costi does not mind me saying that because he says just as much and more, seeking to expose the Word of Faith movement for the deadly, dangerous, deceptive, and damning movement that it is. He has repented of this movement. He is a cessationist and a Reformed Baptist pastor. And there was an update after James White recorded that ad. He's now pastoring in Arizona. He left the church in California after receiving a call to Arizona to pastor there. And of course, there are many more on this roster, but the most recent addition is John MacArthur. And I would go to this conference if it was only John MacArthur preaching at the G3 conference. If you want to join me there Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. I also urge you, if you are a business owner or a parachurch leader, or you want to promote something to the body of Christ to people in large numbers that you are involved in, well, I would strongly urge you not only to register for attendance at the G3 conference, but register for an exhibitor's booth, just like I will be manning. And it has always proven to be a phenomenal experience for me manning an exhibitor's booth there. They typically have over 5,000 people attend this conference. And with John MacArthur added to the lineup, I strongly believe, I am very confident, they will have over 6,000 people. So I am really looking forward to manning my exhibitor's booth for the fourth year in a row there. If you want to join me there, either in attendance or also manning an exhibitor's booth, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com, and please tell the folks at the G3 conference that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And last but not least, if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear from the airways, you look forward to the guests and topics that we feature that are very often not heard anywhere else, you love the free downloadable MP3s that you could share with your family, friends, and loved ones. Well, please, if you love the show and you don't want it to go away, please donate as frequently and as generously as you can by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And you can also mail in a check via snail mail to the address that appears on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com if you prefer snail mail. Please, as I always try to remind you, never siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that, and never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio if you are struggling to make ends meet. Please remember, folks, providing for your church and your family are commands of Scripture. Providing for my radio show is not a command of Scripture, but if you love the show and you don't want it to go away, you don't want it to disappear, and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have extra money collecting interest, you have extra money for recreational purposes, for sporting events, for the theater, for concerts, for movies, for ice cream and all kinds of other trivial things comparatively, well, please take a portion of that money and send it to us so we can stick around longer. And once again, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, folks, you can advertise with us as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something that's compatible with what I believe. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Just to let you know, those of you who may be interested in advertising, last month, as far as I'm aware, was a record-breaking month for downloads of the MP3s off the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio website. I mean, it's a record breaker for us. We typically have over 35,000 people every month downloading the MP3s of this show off the website. And in October, we had over 41,000 downloads off of the website of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio interviews. That's over 41,000. That doesn't even include the live listening audience, and it doesn't include website visits and so on. This is specifically downloads, over 41,000. That's just something to keep in mind if you want to advertise with us. And also remember, folks, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, and you're not even prayerfully looking for one, you're living in rebellion against God, please, please rectify that situation. If you need help finding a church, I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, and I can help you find a church, God willing. So please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. I've already helped quite a number of people in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience find churches all over the world where they have visited and joined and become members, or where they have visited while they are on vacation in that area of the world, or where they have referred these churches to their loved ones who do not have a solid church home. So I perhaps, possibly, God willing, can help you too, because I do have a very exhaustive list, or at least a very extremely large list, I should say, of churches all over the world that are biblically faithful. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. Now it's also that email address where you can send in a question to our guest, Marty Machowski, on his book, God Made Boys and Girls, Helping Children Understand the Gift of Gender. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And Marty, before the break, you were mentioning children who are anorexic or bulimic. If you could continue that thread of thought.
Yes, I'd love to, Chris. People, when it comes to gender dysphoria, are reluctant and actually would say that it's harmful if you tell the children who's struggling with their identity, their gender identity, that they're wrong to think they could be a gender different than the one God gave them at birth. And yet, we know that if somebody is struggling with anorexia, let's say you have a 15-year-old girl who is about 5'5", and she currently weighs 80 pounds, very thin, sickly thin, but she believes that she's fat. We know that we shouldn't tell her, oh, yeah, you can lose more weight. You want to be thinner than you are? Oh, yeah, go ahead. You believe you're fat? Well, then you must be fat. No, we wouldn't say that. I mean, it would be unkind. We tell her, you are fine. You're too thin. You do not need to lose any more weight. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to damage your body. Your body needs the nutrition that's provided with 3 balanced meals a day. If somebody believes, they really believe they should end their life, they should go commit suicide, that life is no longer worth living. We don't say, oh, well, you've got that feeling. Well, you better follow that feeling because it must be true. Of course not. That would be unkind and unjust. We say, your life is worth living. You shouldn't kill yourself. We're easy to say to those two groups who have a mental confusion, right? That's what they are, mental confusion. One person thinks they're fat when they're not. One person thinks life is not worth living when it is worth living. They're wrong. It's okay for us to tell them that they're wrong. Similarly, I would suggest that it is okay to tell a person, let's say if it's a boy who feels like they should be a girl, or a girl who feels like they should be a boy, that they're wrong, that God didn't make a mistake. Their gender is his good gift.
Praise God. One of the things that disturbs me about this whole subject of gender dysphoria and the LGBT worldview is that I think it's inescapable to come to the conclusion, if you're being honest about this, that there are multitudes of very selfish and evil people who are using children as guinea pigs because they don't even really know what the future outcome is going to be, the long-term outcome. In fact, in many cases, we already know because of there have been horrible news reports about people. And you usually only hear about these news reports in conservative media that have committed suicide because they regret having a so-called sex change operation. And another thing that a lot of people seem to never mention, even in conservative media, I don't hear anybody on Fox News saying this, but if you are telling children, young children, even prepubescent children, that they can make a decision like what gender they want to live as, that would result in them getting medication, hormone therapy, and even surgery. If you're giving that weight to the thought process of a child, what is right around the corner other than legalizing pedophilia? Because if a child says that they want to have sexual relations with an adult, well, isn't that just around the corner if you are saying that a child's decisions have that much weight? The next thing, I can't help but think that the next thing around the corner is, well, we should give them freedom of choice about with whom they have sexual relations. Am I going too far here in my presumption?
Well, it's a scary thought for sure. And I'm sure there's some in the listener audience going, well, what are you talking about? But think of the logical implications, right? If children's feelings are more important than truth, so a boy who believes that he's actually a girl, that's more important than the biological markers coded into every cell of his body. Feelings trump truth. If that's your philosophy, then how can you say it's consistent to tell a 12-year-old girl who wants to marry a guy and have sexual relations with him who's 30 years old, how can you tell her that her feelings are wrong, right? So it's what you're talking about is consistent logic. And if their logic stays consistent and goes down that sinful path, it leads to all manner of evil and sin and a disregard for God's command. And quite frankly, I think that that's where we're headed.
We have another anonymous listener. And by the way, I believe I forgot to tell our last anonymous listener, if you send us your full name and mailing address, you've also won a free copy of the book we are discussing today, God Made Boys and Girls by Marty Machowski. And of course, we're not going to reveal your identity on the air when you send us your full name and mailing address, so don't worry about that. And so please send that to us so that cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, can ship this book out to you. And once again, we not only thank cvbbs.com for shipping out these books for free, but we thank our friends at New Growth Press for providing us with these free books to begin with that we are able to ship out to our listeners in limited number who submit questions. So we have another anonymous listener who asks, how alarmed should parents be when they see their little children dressing up in the clothing of the opposite gender? I'm speaking about little tiny children, prepubescent children, not teenagers who are intentionally trying to look like the opposite sex. I'm talking about exploration that children are involved in that involves often humor, and they think it's funny. And how and when do we start to take this more seriously? And what should we do even when we see a tiny child walking out of mommy's room with mommy's shoes on and perhaps another article of clothing when it is a boy doing this?
That's a great question. I think that to answer the how alarmed should we be, I would say we shouldn't be alarmed. Kids don't know what's right and what's wrong. They don't come up from the womb having a well-planned out understanding of morality. Even the Apostle Paul said that he would not have known what coveting was if the Word of God did not tell him, do not covet. So it's the Word of God and God's direction through the Word that teaches us right from wrong and teaches us what is good and bad. So young children don't instinctively know that. So you have a young boy, he thinks it's so cool to have high heels, so he sees mom's high heels, and he gets in her high heels, and he thinks, hey, while I'm at it, let me just put on, mommy's shirt that's sitting there with the flowers on it. So he puts mommy's shirt on, he gets the high heels, and he comes walking down the hallway in these high heels, thinking that he is just the coolest thing since, Elvis hit the stage. And what do you do? Should you be alarmed? No. He's a child doing childish things. And I think that it actually serves, it's a disservice to make a big deal out of it. What I would say is don't make a big deal out of it, but say to yourself, okay, future discipleship opportunity. After everybody has their laugh, the child, put mommy's shoes away, just like you would tell your daughter if she came out in those same things. Then you pull them aside and say, hey, let me tell you something. Did you know that God made boys and God made girls and they are different? God made boys to become daddies and God made girls to become mommies. And guess which one you are? And then he's going to answer logically out of what his observation is. God made me or I'm a boy. Absolutely right. And you affirm that in them. So there's a way to teach the truth and not make a big deal out of the confusion. And studies show that when there is some greater gender confusion in a young child, that the vast majority of those children completely grow out of that confusion. And I'm talking about not confusion that comes from wrong teaching, but confusion that comes simply out of them trying to find their way in life.
Now, do you think it's appropriate for a parent to not in an overly harsh manner, to scare the child, to even draw attention to the child, something that they might not be thinking about at all when they come out of mommy's room. The boy comes out of mommy's room with a, even wearing a dress or something. Do you think it's wise that a parent should at least say, in a very gentle and calm way, do you know that in the Bible, in Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, it says, a man's item shall not be on a woman, and a man shall not wear a woman's garment? Do you know that that is something that the Bible teaches we shouldn't do? I mean, would that be correct, do you think, even with a young child?
I think if they're being serious, that's an appropriate thing to say in the moment. And I would say that one of the things I like to do is use a verse like that in a discipleship moment afterwards. And I think it's also good to say, all right, take those off. Boys don't wear girls' things. Come on, Bob. You know better than that. You ever see Daddy walking around in Mommy's high heels and a dress?
Let's hope not.
No. Well, if he has, and he answers, oh, yeah, all the time, you got a bigger problem. That's beyond the scope of my book, I'll tell you that. So I think it's okay. What I want listeners to know is there's no need to panic. It's just a discipleship opportunity.
Great. And let's see. We have Bobby in Hartsdale, New York. And Bobby says, should Christian parents allow their children to play with other children that their parents allow to dress up like the opposite gender and are convincing their children that being the opposite gender they were born with is completely acceptable?
Well, there's no one right answer to that. What I would say is I would avoid the extremes on both sides. So I would say it would not be wise to say parents should always let their children play with a child in gender transition supported by their parents. And I would also say that it's not wise to say parents should never allow their children to play with or hang out with children who are in gender transition. And the first one, you know, might seem obvious. The second one, I'll address that a little bit. I have a now just turned this week 17-year-old daughter who loves the Lord, is a very has a very strong and solid testimony, and is not easily persuaded by what people think or what people do. And I knew that she was going to a gathering where there were going to be from our local high school some kids who were in gender transition. Now, should I not allow my daughter to go? I talked to her about it, and she went to that with the idea of trying to see if the Lord would provide an opportunity for her to encourage them. And not necessarily to correct them, but to encourage them. She, you know, and so I thought, all right, I have a daughter here who I'm confident in her testimony, in her ability to discern the culture, wanting to reach out to someone who's confused. That's a good thing. And so I think we want to be discerning about our youngest children. I don't know that I would have my youngest children playing with other children whose parents are supporting gender transition in grade school, for example. I just think would be very confusing for my kids. But I just want to have us avoid those absolutes.
And Bobby, you've won a free copy of the book we're discussing, God Made Boys and Girls. Make sure you send us your full mailing address so that cvbbs.com can ship that out to you. And we want to thank New Growth Press once again for providing copies, a limited number of copies of this book for questioners. We have Harrison in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. And Harrison says, one of the sad things about this whole cross-dressing topic is that it is really a universal reality right now that girls very often are dressing like boys. I am not one of those hardline fundamentalists who say that women should never wear slacks that are feminine and that women should always wear dresses. But isn't this a subject that just seems to have totally slipped by us and has now become an established reality where your typical girl will be wearing the clothing of boys and nobody seems to make any kind of noise about it, even within conservative evangelicalism?
Well, I think that the observation that women are dressing like men is an accurate one, certainly not universally, but there are a lot more women who, if you catch them from the right view, you'd say, oh, that's a guy, for certain. I'm not sure that that's coming so much out of sexuality other than wanting, you know, it's back to the pronouncement of the curse, you know, the desire of the woman will be for the position of the man. I think that has something to do with it as well. One of the things that my wife and I did was we wanted to affirm our girls' femininity at a very young age. And so we made sure that we talked about feminine beauty in an appropriate way. They were to dress to please daddy and what daddy likes. And I would compliment them when they wore the things that I liked. So, when it came to particularly going to church on Sundays, we had our young girls wear dresses. And I would talk about what a beautiful dress you have on. And, they learned to love dressing to please their father. And today, even still, my daughters will come to me and they'll ask me about an outfit and say, what do you think about this, Dad? What's your opinion on this one? I'll give it to them. I would say that starts when your kids are really, really young. It's really tough. The proverb goes to reshape an oak tree of 40 years, but a sapling can be molded with ease.
Excellent answer. You have also won a free copy of the book we are describing and talking about. So, Harrison, make sure we have your full mailing address in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, so that cvbbs.com can ship this out to you. We have, let's see, John in Bangor, Maine wants to know, other than your book that is a child's book, can you recommend books specifically for parents and adults that tackles this issue?
Yeah, I would say if you want to get a copy of God and the Transgender Debate, that's by Andrew T. Walker, and that would be a good book for you to read and help you to understand this issue. So I would recommend that one for you. There's some books out there. I just say you got to be careful because, they may not be that great. So, the God and the Transgender Debate book has a foreword by Al Mohler. And so you can pretty much guarantee that if Al Mohler is going to put his stamp of approval on it, it's going to have a biblical cultural worldview. So that's the one I would recommend.
Great. And who is the publisher of this book?
The Good Book Company.
Okay. And the author?
The author is Andrew T. Walker, and the Transgender Debate.
Great. Well, folks, you could look that up on Google and so on. And thank you very much for that excellent question, John in Bangor, Maine, and make sure we have your full mailing address. We're going to our final break right now. It's going to be a lot more brief than the last one. If you have a question for our guest, please send it in quickly because we are rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, please remember to give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with our guest and more of our discussion on God Made Boys and Girls. We'll be right back, God willing, after these messages. When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at the Toronto Baptist Seminary, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jeff Downs of Knox Reformed Presbyterian Church in Mechanicsville, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mark Grimaldi of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Scott Pasolo of the Master's Church of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kevin Vigneault of the Bible Church of Port Washington, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church in St. Augustine, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Clint Leiter of Highway M Chapel, Sedalia, Missouri, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, We hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Chris Sorensen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future. and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Delcor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org.
Welcome back, and we have a question for you, Marty, from Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania. She asks, does your book have lists of things that are unique qualities and blessings that girls have that boys do not have, and vice versa, that are not to be envied by girls when possessed by boys, or envied by boys when possessed by girls, but just to be appreciated that each gender has these unique attributes and blessings?
Well, I don't specifically have a list like that, but I try to put in truths subtly that will be picked up by the children. So, for example, I have a chart that has a mom and a dad on it, and it actually says mom and dad. And I basically talk about that God is the one who chooses your gender code. And so that, referring to boy and girl, is an association with mom and dad. One of the things that I did want to address in this book, which is a little bit different issue, are some of the gender stereotypes that kids are pigeonholed in. So that if, for example, you're a girl that likes to fix cars, that somehow there's something wrong with you. That's a boy thing. Or a boy who likes to sing, there's something wrong with you. That's a girl thing. Now, we know that's not true. God can give those gifts to either sex. They're not sex specific. Whereas, obviously, giving birth to children is a sex-specific gift. So what I did was I wanted to, what happens in a book like this on gender is you want to equip parents to keep from themselves making some kind of gender undercut to their children. Not so much, oh, boys don't dress in dresses, but if your son is good at cooking and he likes to bake a cake, you don't say, oh, that's what girls do. Some of the best chefs in the world are men. That's not a girl-specific occupation. So I wanted to make sure I dealt with both. Boys become dads, girls become moms, but then these gender stereotypes we need to be careful with.
And we have Mary in Cork, Ireland, who has a question. And Mary in Cork, Ireland asks, do you not think that many parents have gone way overboard in being upset by roughhousing and other things that boys are typically involved in? I think that very often the phrase, boys are boys, And that should not be something that is totally discounted, and that we should not feminize our boys, as long as we are being cautious that they are not hurting themselves or others or being cruel. Don't you think that boys will be boys is something that we need to always remember?
I would wholeheartedly agree. And I think that this idea that all the boys need to settle down and sit kindly at death, we homeschooled our family. And one of the things we learned with our boys is that they couldn't be cooped up sitting down in a chair forever. And so we would just say, hey, guys, you need to go run 2 times around the house and then come back in. And when our boys were wrestling, we didn't say, stop that, you're making too much noise. We allowed our boys to climb trees and explore and catch snakes. And, I am a hunter, and I took my boys hunting with me. And so they learned how to properly harvest an animal and what to do to butcher an animal and then use it to provide for food. So I'm all for recognizing the things that God has called men to do, provide for their family, defend their family, and teach your boys to do that in all the appropriate, robust ways.
Yeah, you know what's really scary is I even know personally parents who have put their children on, their sons especially, on Ritalin and other drugs because they just freak out when they see this aggressive behavior in their sons that aren't even doing anything that is really dangerous. Don't you agree that this world of quick fix medication for problems or perceived problems is a very dangerous road?
I think it is. I think that medication is so widely overprescribed. I think there may be some instances where there is a proper diagnosis made, but my goodness, I tell moms and dads, if your son is wild, if he is an adventurer, very much he's probably going to be a leader and God's going to use them, and all of those gifts are going to be used for the power of hell until the kid gets saved. So preach the gospel to that young man. We need him in the kingdom.
Amen. Well, I want you to now have 2 minutes to just summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners about boys and girls. God made boys and girls.
Well, I would say this, that it is critically important in this culture that we be teaching our children very young and early the proper understanding about gender. We cannot wait until the culture has already begun to teach them wrongly, to somehow try to correct things that they've been taught wrongly. We need to get in there and be teaching our youngest children that gender is a gift from God, something that never changes. And I would just encourage the listening audience, if they have children that are young, anywhere from 4 years old up to 10, to go ahead and get a copy of God Made Boys and Girls and read it through with your children. It's not going to cause them to think anything different than what you've already taught them, but what it'll do is it'll emphasize those truths that God made them, if they're a boy, to be a boy, and if they're a girl, to be a girl. And then I would just say to the listening audience, affirm the sexuality of your children. So when a boy holds the door for his sister or helps his mom pick up the groceries out of the car without being asked, pull him aside and say, you know what, son? You just did what a man does. Way to go. You're going to be a great dad. When you see a young girl help her mom out with some things around the house, pull her aside and say, well done. You are going to be such a great mommy someday. Affirm gender in your kids when they're young. It will serve as a foundation for when they get confusing thoughts, which are sure to come through the media, school, or otherwise later on in their lives.
I want to thank you so much, Marty, for being such an outstanding guest today. I look forward to you returning to this show often if you agree with my assessment that this was an excellent program. And I want to remind our listeners that this book, has been published by New Growth Press, and you can find out more about the titles they publish at newgrowthpress.com, newgrowthpress.com. I urge you to purchase these books from cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, since they are a sponsor of this program. And purchasing through cvbbs.com is obviously not going to hurt New Growth Press at all. And I want to thank everybody who listened today. And don't forget also about Covenant Fellowship Church, where our guest is a pastor in Pennsylvania, covfell.org, covfell.org, covfel.org is the website. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.